Good morning. It's 16 minutes after 8 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. I'm Robert Woolsey. Joining me in the studio this morning to talk about Skipper Science is Heather Bauscher. Good morning, Heather.
Good morning, Rob.
And Heather, we have reported on Skipper Science. I think I've done two or three stories on it over the years. It was like, first it was this kind of cool app. Hey, you know, the people who are actually out on the water can actually provide data that can be tabulated and used by scientists, but it's really grown. Skipper Science is actually becoming a thing.
Yeah, it's really becoming a thing lately. Thanks, Rob. And thanks for your help with those stories, getting the word out.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, at first it was just kind of an experiment, and it all started with Salmon State and the Aleut community of St. Paul, because they had been doing sort of citizen science out in the Pribs for many years, and this was originally like paper forms 20 years ago.
Right.
And they turned it into this app. And now we got to talking about commercial fishermen being out on the water and a source of information. And they took what they had done out in the Pribilofs and then made a specific app just for scientists, which is what Skipper Science is. And now we're in our third year, and we've finally convinced folks that scientists indeed are capable of collecting this data, and through this platform we can standardize everything. So all those stories that people share when we go to the meetings and often gets considered anecdotal can be included through this platform, and then we can standardize it and it becomes part of reports. And now they're actually even using those reports at these management council meetings.
Right. If you ever attend these meetings just as a listener, or if you hear the news stories about it, you hear a lot of testimony from people who have hands-on observations about the natural environment. And those observations tend to be overshadowed and drowned out by all the scientific literature that's published. But now Skipper Science is an opportunity for the observations of people to be incorporated into the science, so it kind of gets equal footing now.
Yeah, and it's really exciting. If you go to the meetings this week, you'll notice there'll even be Skipper Science boxes sometimes in the presentations where they're including these observations that came from folks out on the water and fishermen firsthand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is great for somebody like you who spends a lot of time at testimony tables advocating for fisheries issues in Southeast and I guess around the state.
Well, and I really like this project because it's really about bringing everybody around the table, you know, together to figure out what we're seeing and how we can move forward.
Okay. And you find it's getting traction with policymakers?
Yeah, actually, it's really exciting. last year, towards the end of the year, we finally got to a place where we convinced the scientists that, yes, the fishermen can collect the data. And now we're starting to key in on specific study areas or specific projects and sort of like matchmaking fishermen and fisheries groups with specific researchers. So we did a first project last year with black cod and stomach contents. And the NOAA scientists had come to us and were like, we don't have a lot of data about the Gulf of Alaska, and it'd be cool to do more ecosystem analysis. And wouldn't it be cool if we could collect stomach contents from fishermen? And what was fun about that too, or what I thought was interesting, is that in the past when they send in the physical samples, because of the stomach acid in the black cod, it was so deteriorated that it was like hard to identify. So actually the phone cameras now are such good quality that getting the photos of the stomach contents spread out and sending that to them, they would be able to zoom in and identify things. And they said last year that it was a positive proof of concept, and we're going to do it again this fall.
Wow. Yeah, because there's such dramatic difference sometimes between data that are collected in the field and when it finally gets into a lab somewhere. I mean, even you go to a natural history museum, you see stuff that they've collected out of the ocean, and it doesn't look anything like like it might have looked, you know, when it was collected. So I could see how Skipper Science could sort of close the gap between the actual, what's actually happening and when it's actually interpreted.
Yeah, and that was only possible thanks to like local fishermen here. We teamed up with Seafood Producers Cooperative, SPC, the local longliners. It was a little late in the season, so there was only like so many boats left, but we got as many of those folks as we could, and we got more than 50 samples, and they were pleased. So now we're starting to do more projects like that. We've got a mapping project for king salmon on the Nishigak out west with Bristol Bay gill netters and the BBR SDA teaming up on that. And that's cool because that's our first project partnering with the state. So we're trying to map where the kings are out there working with the fishermen. And then there's going to be a new one coming this summer already working with gill netters and documenting murrelets.
Okay. And BB, that's Bristol, Bristol Bay.
BBR SDA.
Okay. It's Bristol Bay something. Heather, before we talk about how the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council is going to be using Skipper Science at the meeting in Sitka this week, remind us, where's the funding coming? I mean, there's a lot of I can see all the fishermen out there with the apps. The app is really cool. It's a great tool, but somebody's got to be pulling all the information together. There has to be salaries and research and stuff involved. Where is the funding coming for that?
Oh, yeah. This is this is very much a collaborative project. So like I said, this started out with the Aleut community of St. Paul, and they have a program called the Indigenous Sentinels Network, which is the platform that hosts all of these apps. Skipper Science is one of them. You may have heard about the FishMap app, too. That's one of them. And then they have a variety of other ones. So it started out there, and this is Aleut community of St. Paul, the Alaska Conservation Foundation, Salmon State, Sitka Conservation Society, as well as many, many others and fisheries groups, et cetera. Like we've been.
So it's collaborative funding.
Yeah, it's very NOAA. Okay. We're working with NOAA, and a lot of that is being funded. And that's why this is so cool to see this actually even integrated while we have the meetings here in town.
Okay. And so the meetings in town, we're going to see it integrated. What form is that going to take? What's it going to look like? What should we look for?
When you go to the meetings and you're seeing the presentation, sometimes you'll see little boxes with the Skipper Science icon. And when they're giving the presentations, they'll even mention some of the observations that came out of the Skipper Science report. And you'll see that this week.
Okay. Anything in particular we should head over and see?
No. Okay. One of the main reasons I came on the radio this morning, we're going to do a special Skipper Science Lunch and Learn. So this Friday over at the council meetings, we'll be in the room just across from the entrance from 12 to 1:30. I'll be doing a lunch and learn. We're going to have chowder and salad, and you can come over and we'll help you download the app and record an observation and get started in Skipper Science.
Yeah, this isn't any kind of onerous thing you have to sign up and register for. It's literally just sort of volunteer participation among the fleet, right?
Yep. And as we key in on some of these specific studies that have specific pools of funding, we're starting to even be able to compensate fishermen for these observations because we pay scientists to do this work. Why shouldn't we pay them as well?
What's your feeling? I have a sense just talking with people who spend a lot of time on the water that they're bursting with information that they would love to share.
Yeah, actually, this is really fun because as I go around talking to folks, I hear different stories and different observations all the time. And even if a person isn't able to document it themselves, because, you know, not everybody likes technology or using the app, the way we have it now, because this is the new updated version, you can actually record an observation for like a friend or somebody else that you heard it from and put it in there too.
Okay. Or let your 19-year-old deckhand do it. Whatever. If you're scared off by an app. Go for it. Heather, we have about 45 seconds left. Was there anything else on the list we need to touch on?
I just want to really encourage people to come over and check out the meetings and don't be intimidated to show up and check it out, because the only way to learn how to navigate these processes is by being there in person. And it's fun just to see how it all works and talk to people in the hallways.
Okay. I will... put an agenda, a link to the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council agenda with this interview on the KCAW website. And people should know that it's not just the council meeting. There's also the statistical committee that meets and the advisory panel.
Yeah, there's three components, and we'll try to be really quick on this. But you have the science and statistical committee that happens first. Then you have the advisory panel. The AP is, or the advisory panel, sort of like what RAC is to the state, but that's to the council. So they're meeting right now, and then the council meetings will be after that. There's also a really important meeting for the trollers, actually happening tonight, 5:30. There'll be a presentation in the
Harrigan Hall. Yeah, main room of Harrigan Hall.
Yep. Okay. Go ahead and speak about that.
Well, we've been reporting on that since the lawsuit was filed, but the Wildfish Conservancy in Washington State has successfully managed to put the put a block on Chinook trolling for summer and winter in southeast Alaska, and it's NOAA is scrambling to try and resolve the I guess the flaws in their environmental policy work that created the opening for the lawsuit to happen, and they'll be updating folks tonight on how that work is going. So,
and I think in all these cases, we want to get as many folks in the room as possible.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming in, Heather, and thank you for all the work you do. I introduced you as being a member working for the Sitka Conservation Society, but you're also chair of our local Fish and Game Advisory Committee. And you are a sort of a force of nature at at a lot of these meetings, and we do appreciate the work.
Well, thank you so much, Rob.
All right, Heather Bauscher.